Time to let everybody play as the Tigers get ready to host Northwestern State. The Raging Cajuns try to get their second win in a row, this time as Texas Southern comes to Cajun Field. How can the Saints exercise their demons? Well, they have a chance on Sunday. The next time the Tigers will play Texas will be in hoops. The day and the time have been set. And the Schwab joins us for Week 2 NFL picks today, Thursday, September 12th, 2019.
Well, I think keys is, first of all, is we got to protect the football and take the football away. That's probably the most evident thing from last week. And so that's something we did talk about, something that we want to make sure players are aware that, you know, we've got to protect the football better, and we've got to be able to take it away when the ball's on the ground. We got to get to it.
Very disciplined, great front, and it's a rivalry game. When they're playing at their home field, they're going to be loud and they're going to be ready. It's going to be a great NFL football game. We got to get the ball out quickly and execute. That's all we can do.
He's probably the best dual back there is in the league right now. I used to think it was David Johnson, but Christian's passed him up. As a receiver, he's a hell of a matchup problem. And as a runner, he's a great runner. So they do a good job of having two backs in the game, and you never know which one's going anywhere, and they have a lot of speed. And you always have to be accountable for Cam breaking down and making something happen on his own. So it's always a tough offense to defend.
Getting you set for Thursday night football in the NFL, Tampa Bay at Carolina. Ron Rivera, Jameis Winston, Bruce Arians. One thing's for sure, somebody in the NFC South is going to win a game. Both the Bucs and the Panthers, 0-1. The Falcons are at 0-1 as well, trailing the Saints. The Saints head out to the West Coast to take on the LA Rams. And with that, we say good afternoon. Welcome. Happy Thursday to you and yours. Yours truly here, Studio 1A. My main man, CD, producer extraordinaire in the 237 Roof Studios on the campus of Delta Media, KLWB and 103.7 The Game. We're going to talk about cramping and stress and anxiety. We're going to be talking about what it's like to be moving up into the radio play-by-play things. We're going to hear from Sean Payton, Drew Brees, Cam Jordan, and others as the Saints try to forget and put behind them the NOLA no-call once and for all. And the Schwab will join us for his Week 2 picks in the NFL. CD, good afternoon, my friend. Happy Thursday to you. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right, Jordy. How about you, man? It's a wonderful Thursday. We're getting that much closer to some football again.
Yeah, it's some bad news for one former LSU running back. Washington Redskin, Darius Geis, knee troubles. He's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. Remember, he missed all of last season with an ACL. And now he's got, he underwent surgery to repair his right meniscus and will miss 6 to 8 weeks. My goodness. So that creates an opening for Adrian Peterson to start just 1 week after he was a healthy inactive for the season opener. It's another bad day for the New York Jets, who had a lead and then lost to the Buffalo Bills in week one. And now their starting quarterback, Sam Darnold, has been ruled out indefinitely with mononucleosis. Holy cow. Just keeps getting worse and worse. And, wow, Team USA in the World Cup, World Games, loses yet again, this time to Serbia. And now they can finish no better than seventh. Seventh. And USA Basketball Managing Director Jerry Colangelo said today that when the time comes to start assembling the 2020 Tokyo Olympic roster, he won't forget those who backed out of commitments to play in the World Cup this summer. Of the 35 players originally selected for the U.S. player pool, only four have been in China for the FIBA World Cup. Only four of 35. What is going on with that? We sent in our D-League team, and we lost yet again. This is the worst finish by an American's men team in a major tournament. The previous worst was sixth at the 2002 World Championships. So, there you have it. How about that? Man. Meanwhile, LSU football back in the mix, getting ready for Northwestern State. Coach Ed Orgeron talked about some of his key defensive players that will be out, and one more that is very questionable.
Yeah, you know, most of our guys will be able to play. Rashard Lawrence will not play. Glenn Logan will not play. Kelavon is questionable. I don't know if he's going to play or not, but other than that, we're going to be fine.
They're going to be fine. One little minor detail we just found out. He talked about Joe Burrow having a little tweak issue.
You know, when you have a quarterback like Joe Burrow, had the opportunity today of he had a minor injury, still a little sore. He had the opportunity to sit out. He said, "No, coach, I'm practicing." I mean, he wants to be out there. He said, "Coach, I got to stay in my rhythm. I want to be with my team. Guys are fighting to be out there. It's special." And we talk about the LSU standard of performance. It's not about anybody else. It's about how we practice. We set our marks high, and we need to attain those marks every day.
And he says, "We haven't seen the best of number nine yet."
You know, Joe's a tremendous competitor. He's a baller. He's a coach's son. We're so glad that we have him. He has everything that you want in an LSU quarterback, in my opinion. He has all the intangibles, his strong arm, very smart, can run. We're glad that we have him. I've got to give some credit to Steve Ensminger. He has done a tremendous job with Joe Burrow, so has Joe Brady. Give credit to all our football team, but I do believe that Joe Burrow's just getting started. I don't think he's seen his best yet.
Haven't seen the best yet. And then finally, going back to the Texas game, the play of plays that sealed the win. Coach O talked about that third down, 17 yards to go, that led to the game-winning touchdown.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, you become elite coach when you have elite players. And we have elite players. I appreciate that. No question about that. But, yeah, you know what? If we'd have went down there and we could have nailed on the ball and won the football game and ran out the clock, we'd have definitely done that. And it was 3 minutes and 53 seconds left. I told Linsman, I said, "What do you think about 4 minutes?" He says, "No, I'm throwing the ball down the field and we're going to score." I said, "Go get it." Here we go. But we made a great play on third down 17. Big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games, and you saw it right there.
There you go. And finally, last time we're ever going to mention it again, but during his radio show last night that you heard here on 103.7 The Game, two things. Here's Coach O talking about, once again, the locker room conditions in Austin.
Well, as you know, Bob, we have, and I did not call Skip. I could have called him, but I did talk to somebody in Louisiana Tech staff, and they felt that it was very hot in there for them. So all I did was make sure that as a precautionary measure that we had air conditions and blowers. So we did have air conditions and blowers going into the game. We put air conditioners and blowers. I don't know about air conditioning, but we definitely put blowers on the floors on Friday so we could have some ventilation. And we kept the doors closed. So Saturday when we got there, it was fine. I mean, it was a little stuffy in there, but as far as whether an air conditioner was on or not, I don't know. I was told there was none. So I took a precautionary measure of making sure that the locker room was fine for us, and that's all we did.
So next September in the year 2020, when the Texas Longhorns come to town, here's Coach O talking about what might be in store for them.
Oh, I'm sure we have a plan or two to make them as comfortable as they can possibly be.
Make them as comfortable as they possibly can be. Very good. We'll hear from the New Orleans Saints. We'll hear from Sean Payton and Drew Brees and Cam Jordan and the like coming up in hour number two. Let me tell you our guest list today. Coming up after our first time out, Brody Miller of The Athletic will join us. We'll get a practice report update, get his thoughts on what the Tigers are doing defensively. Then Patrick Netherton will join us. He is the play-by-play voice of the Demons from Northwestern State. Really a good guy. We'll talk about the broadcasting business and how you work your way up. Hour number two, we always start with hot topics. And then the Schwab, Frank Schwab, the editor of Shutdown Corner for Yahoo Sports, will join us with his picks, the Schwab's picks, for week two of the NFL. It starts tonight with the Bucks at the Panthers. So that's what's coming your way. We're brought to you each and every day by ShopRite Tobacco Plus discount outlets with over 60 of them in southern and central Louisiana. They have specials. They have discounts each and every day. You can't beat the prices. You cannot beat the selection. You cannot beat the convenience. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, you just can't shop right at all. The latest on the Tigers with Brody Miller next.
There's only one place you'll find all the movers, shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Humpert Show on 103.7 The Game.
I spent 10 good minutes with our good friend Brody Miller of The Athletic. A couple little tidbits to clear up. LSU's going to have a coach's caravan event in Nashville next Friday before the Tigers play Vanderbilt. Will Wade, Paul Maneri, Dede Bro, Beth Tarina, Nikki Fargus are going to speak at the Redneck Riviera. I thought that was on the beach at the Floribama or something. Anyway, it's in Nashville from 3 to 6 p.m. Anyway, Brody, good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing, Joy?
I'm great. All right, besides the band being upstairs and the locker room having no air conditioning, I guess the biggest thing people are talking about is the cramping. And LSU trainer Jack Marucci had a little comment about that. What did he have to say about all the cramping that was taking place?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting how vocal Marucci's kind of been this week. And, you know, he spoke to Sports Illustrated. He went on, he did a radio spot with Tiger Rag Radio, which was actually a really fascinating read. But, I mean, one thing he was saying is that he's like, I think a lot of the cramping conversation gets so tied into, you know, things like heat and dehydration, because those are kind of the obvious things people think about when they look at cramping, which is true. But he was saying, you know, it's not always that simple, and a lot of it really has to do with, things like stress and, you know, or sleep and fatigue and things like that. Mm-hmm. So he says, you know, for example, in a big game like this, there's a lot of studies that show that, you know, bodies are going to be a little more likely to cramp because these bodies are just stressed from that. You know, I'm not a scientist. I don't know that, but I just found that really fascinating. And then another thing that Ed Ogeron pointed out is that, you know, one of the problems of that game was, you know, it wasn't like a humid heat. It was kind of a dry heat, and players weren't necessarily sweating all that much. So
right.
It was kind of,
right.
It became a thing where it was, you know, nobody at halftime really seemed like they needed an IV. Like, no one was really problematic. Everything seemed fine. And then you had a 19-play drive, and then this game got away from them. And then they won, but the Chiefs defensively. And then all of a sudden you're exhausted, and that's when these cramps came.
Case in point, my first game in college, I got cramps during the game, and it was in an air-conditioned Pete Maravich Assembly Center. We played Tulane, and it was a lack of sleep. It was stress. It was your first college game. I had a great game, had 30 points, but still – I remember cramping up going, gee, what the? I was outshadowed by my boy Rudy Macklin, who set an NCAA record for 32 rebounds in one game. So he got all the headlines, but we won. Anyway, so I'm in full agreement about the stress, the anxiety, the pressure of big games causing that. It's been a lot hotter at other games, and I haven't seen cramping. So I that's just an anomaly. I guess what I'm hoping is that the defense that we saw was an anomaly, and that's going to get shored up in the weeks to come, because the offense is great, but the defense has some improving to do.
Yeah, I mean, whenever I look at a game and I look at, like, you know, where things went wrong, when you're evaluating whether you should be like sincerely concerned or saying, you know, maybe this is just, you know, some stuff happened. I always go to like, is the issue that got beat something that is solvable? You know, and that's, and usually it sometimes can be that simple. You know, when you look at the offensive issues last year, it was something that was pretty solvable. They had pass protection issues, and then everything that came after that became a problem. So I think when I looked at that defensive game and players backed this up, I think it was just this thing where one decision led to a few other things, and it just kind of, you know, it started with their pass rush plan. The objective was keep Sam Ellinger in the pocket. Don't let him run all over us. He's one of the best rushers in the country. So they went with a cage rush technique, and they didn't really let guys, you know, go free and try to get pressure. And not just did it not get sacks with that strategy, because, I mean, they really didn't have any of the first half. They had some later, but that came from funky stunts. So not only did that get pressure, but it also, he still ran at will. He ran for 88 yards on 14 carries when sacks were taken out. So you start there. And then also, when you go with that strategy, it's giving him more time in the pocket. So you're putting so much more pressure on that secondary, which, in my opinion, especially the outside corners, played a fantastic game. But he still threw for 401 yards. And then the other thing I'll add, and then you add in the exhaustion. So you start there. Then you add in the exhaustion issues in the second half on that 19-play drive. And then Jacoby Stevens broke down for me a really, I think, a fascinating thing about, you know, basically the plan was, aside from stopping Ellinger, was take away those deep balls to Colin Johnson. They're big, 6'5", 6'6", star jump ball receiver. So their plan was, and they found through all their studies, that when you show two high safeties, they don't really ever attack them. So what they were doing was they were showing two safeties and then, you know, disguising it and rotating down to basically like cover three or cover one. And that one created its own little kind of communication issues and its own kind of being not where you're supposed to be issues, and also just left holes in the defense. So that's when the second half you started seeing those constant, you know, check downs to Devin DuVernay in the slot or Deontay Ingram, the running back. And you mix that with the exhaustion, that's when you saw the missed tackles, and that's where Texas really took advantage. Sorry for the long-winded answer.
No, that's excellent. Birdie Miller, the Athletic, kind enough to join. I'm just amazed at how good this Stingley kid is. They're now starting to avoid him and throwing to an all-SEC performer, throwing his way at Christian Fulton. I mean, this Stingley kid is legit.
I know, right? I mean, you've been talking to me for a year and a half now, right? I feel like I try to really avoid hyperbole and things like that. But, I mean, wow, that was pretty darn impressive. I mean, and this is not a slight of Christian Fulton, but Derek Stingley already looked like the best corner on this team. And Christian Fulton might be a first-round pick. I mean, he was locking him down from a pure coverage perspective, and then two, on those two or three times they attacked him, he beat him on those jump balls. That one play where he knew to put his hand in the exact perfect place and break up what should have been, you know, a 30, 40-yard catch. It's just if he got beat, you would understand that, right? It's like, hey, it's his first ever real college football game. You're going to against one of the best offenses in the country. If he got beat, like, all right, fair enough. He's still really good. And he looked like a star out there. So I just think, I mean, I was blown away. And then you add in what he's adding on punt return. And, he is as advertised.
He is something else. Brody Miller, kind enough to join us. This is a game coming up when, you know, we're going to find out who the backup center is really early, don't you think? I mean, because we got to have Lori Cushenberry. He's really good, but we got to find somebody that can back him up. So if you have a bruise or a hangnail, you're sitting this baby out.
I know. It's really fascinating with the backup center thing, right? I sincerely don't know what they're going to do because – technically, Charles Turner is the listed backup center, the freshman from IMG Academy. He's not, I mean, let's put it this way. If it ever came into a game situation, Charles Turner would not be their backup center. It would probably be Chasen Hines. So, but you also want Chasen Hines to get more guard reps. It's this whole thing of, like, you need Chasen Hines to get his reps, too. So I'm really curious when it comes garbage time, maybe it's a big enough lead where you just say, you know what, let's let this undersized kid, Charles Turner, let's let him play. Maybe you do. Maybe you go Hines there. I mean, I'm really fascinated to see what you do there. But, yes, your overall point, I mean, you're going to see backups at a ton of positions Saturday. And Miles Brennan and Peter Parrish are probably what people are going to hone in on most. But I'm really interested to see what they do with those backup offensive line spots because, you know, Bedard Traore was taking first-team reps in guard the other day. What does that mean? You know, just I think there's a – Darryl Rosenthal, as he comes to left tackle, that's always a big thing to watch because he's somebody with such upside. I'm really interested to see what that offensive line looks like.
Brody Miller, The Athletic. Here we are Thursday. Coach O said on Monday at his press conference we may hear something about Ed Ingram this week. I haven't heard anything. Have you heard anything? And what's reasonable to expect if there is good news and he is reinstated? How long is it going to take a guy like that to get ready and get back into playing time?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, no, I have not heard anything since this weekend other than things look really positive right now. It's pre-trial proceeding. It's Friday. Well, tomorrow, I should say. So my guess, if you hear anything, it would be tomorrow. His court date is set for, I believe, Monday, if it went to that, but it doesn't sound like it will. But, okay. I mean, he's in shape. You know what I mean? Like, I remember that was kind of the whole storyline LSU was pushing when they were resting guys in fall camp. It's like, this isn't the old days where you have to, like, use camp to get in shape. You're in mm-hmm. shape. So, I mean, like, Ed Ingram's been working out like crazy for the day. He might come back. He's ready in that sense. I don't know how football ready he is. I don't know how mentally ready he is in terms of the playbook and things like that. But, I mean, he could jump back into the fold in terms of getting major reps right away, I think. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Some people being like, is he going to run in and play against Northwestern State? That seems like a lot to ask. But I bet it could be a pretty darn quick turnaround, especially considering, you know, there's still some major issues with that offensive line.
Yeah, that would be a welcome back to the fray type of situation. I've always said this. I hate these kind of games, but after what I saw against Texas on Saturday, I welcome Northwestern State. I think it's the perfect remedy this week because, man, that was a physical game.
It was, yeah. I mean, say what you will, but this schedule kind of, as difficult as it is, it's kind of a well-balanced one, right, where and you start with triple option teams that you should easily beat. And a lot of coaches like doing those games, your fundamentals and things like that. And then, you know, you have this massive game, and all of a sudden you win that game, and you're 2 weeks into the season, you already have the most impressive win in the country right now.
Yes.
So
yes.
You have goodwill for the next month and a half, right? And then you have three pretty winnable games, and no one's going to, like, give you flack for that because you already have this massive win. And you
That's
can
right.
rest guys. You can be smart about it. I mean, to make no mistake, Utah State's a tough team, and you're going to have to play that one hard. But you get my overall point. And
right.
all of a sudden, you have basically a full month until more than that, right, before you get into that brutal stretch of Florida, Auburn, Mississippi State, and then a bye week and then Alabama. So, yeah, I think the schedule kind of worked out in a good way for them.
All right, Brody Miller, The Athletic, one bit of advice. When you're on the sidelines, there's cameras everywhere. Always be alert because we saw you on the tube over the weekend.
So all I did was take a few steps back. What
well,
did I do?
Just be careful, Brody Miller. I just want to protect you. So I'll give you the nuances of sidelinery, okay? But I'm kidding. Thank you for your time, man. Have a good week.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, you take care. I will take a time out here when we come back. The voice of the demons. Patrick Netherton. Yeah, we'll talk a little football, but we're going to talk broadcasting. How about that? Next.
Taking the hottest topics out there and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Holtberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. One of the really, really, really good guys in the broadcasting world is the voice of the Northwestern State Demons, Patrick Netherton, who is kind enough to join us today. Pat, how you been, my friend? Good to talk to you.
Man, it's great to be on with you, Jordy. I'm as happy as I can be.
What does it mean to you as a broadcaster to be able to set up your equipment and talk in Tiger Stadium?
You know, I'd say it's a dream, but I think that might be a little bit too much. That might be a little too much, but no, it's fun, man.
Okay.
And one of the things that we as broadcasters get to do, and especially when you're the voice of a team like Northwestern that travels a lot and plays a lot of these guarantee games in football and in basketball mm-hmm. and some of the trips in baseball, is you get to see and experience a lot of cool places that you otherwise may not have. I, like everyone else in the state, have been to LSU games as a fan growing up. I've been to, you know, to games just going in to take them in. And so it's neat when you get to go in as, you know, as the radio voice of the opposing team.
Right.
You get to get down on the field pregame. You get to see all that. That stuff's really neat. So, yeah, it's a fun experience, man. It's great. It's just one of those kind of broadcaster bucket list stadiums that you want to call games in, and I'll be lucky enough to call my second there on Saturday night.
That's awesome. You better Kent Lowe better spring for dinner. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Look, trying to get dinner out of Kent Lowe is like Ooh. Trying to get blood from a turnip, man. It's that he opened his wallet the other day, and Andrew Jackson started shielding his eyes. He hadn't seen the light in so long. I'm not expecting Kent Lowe to buy dinner unless it's, hey, go eat some of this press box food. Like, that's all I'm expecting out of Kent Lowe.
Oh, Pat, you got him down just right. Patrick Netherton, the voice of the Northwestern State Demons. All right, so things haven't gone so well so far. You lose to Tennessee Martin by 22. Midwestern State, I got to be honest with you, I never heard of them before. But obviously they exist, and they win by 26. So it's been a tough go for you. Obviously makes it difficult as a broadcaster because you want your team to win or to play well, and it's tough at times, isn't it?
Well, you know, the thing is, Jordy, you've done enough games where you're kind of the neutral outside observer. You're calling games for a network, and you go into those games and you just want a good game. That's all you're looking for. Right. And then you're trying to tell the story of each side, and you're telling the players' stories and everything. And if the game gets out of hand, you have to start moving into your garbage material and bring out a lot of stuff. All we ever want when we're neutral game callers is we want a good game so that we have to just keep calling the game, and we don't have to get into all of our research material. Well, the problem is when you're the voice of a team, you're emotionally invested in that team. And so, I've known Brad Laird, the Demon head coach, for forever. I've known him basically since I got to Northwestern 16 years ago. And he's been multiple stints, a couple of deep times as defensive coordinator, now as the head coach. I would consider him a friend. He's a good man. I love that guy to death. And so when I watch them struggle and I watch him struggle, it hurts. You get emotionally invested, and it hurts to have to try to call that. And so I, as the voice of the Demons, am trying my dead level best to mine as much positive as I can out of some of these performances when they're not good. And it gets very emotional, and it's hard to tell that story because you're wanting to see those guys succeed so badly. And that's, to me, the hardest part of being the voice of a team is, it's great. Everything's great when you're successful. Everybody loves you. It's easy to tell that story, but it's really hard to go through when the team is struggling and try to stay positive and try to find the good things that are going on and try to tell that story. That makes it really tough because you ache for these guys that you know so well. And Jordy, I've been lucky in my 16 years at NSU. I haven't worked with a bad coach yet. They've all been great to me. They've all been great people. Yes. And so you get emotionally invested in these guys, and you want to see them succeed. So it hurts when they don't.
Yeah, you feel their pain just like you're one of them, and you are one of them. There's no question. Patrick Netherton, kind enough to join us. So what's look, there's no Bobby Hebert there. There's no Joe Delaney's there. But who should we be setting our sights on as LSU fans? Who – Give me some names of some really good players that you talk about each and every week.
Well, it obviously starts with the quarterback, Shelton Epler. He's a two-year guy now. He's been in the offense that Brad Smiley runs. It brought it with him from Trinity Valley Community College. So he's been 4 years in this offense. It'll look somewhat similar to LSU, what LSU's running now. It's usually going to be tempo. It's usually going to be spread. The main difference is, at least so far this year, most of the attacking has been horizontal, not vertical. And they haven't really done a lot of tempo stuff just because the offense has not had a lot of success yet. And so I think when they start to have success, you may see that tempo pick up. Obviously, if they can put together every 19-play drive like Texas did, they're going to try to do every 19-play drive this week against LSU they can. He's one to look out for. Quan Shorts, who wears number one, wide receiver. He's a Texas Tech transfer from last year. He's the leading receiver on this team. He's a very good player. You'll see him a lot over the middle. Just a really solid guy and a really cool sort of redemptive story from him. He was a guy that ran into some off-the-field stuff when he was at Texas Tech. He marched into the athletic director's office at Northwestern and said, look, that's not who I am. I want to prove to you that's not who I am. And so I appreciate you giving me a second chance. I mean, he manned up, and he's lived up to that since he's been at NSU. Defensively, a couple of guys. There's a guy named O'Shea Jackson who wears number 55. By the way, Jordy, I know you're hip, so I know you know O'Shea Jackson is Ice Cube's actual name. So
yes.
I know that you already know that that's – yeah, I know you already knew that. But, yeah, O'Shea Jackson, who strangely his nickname is not Ice Cube, and I don't know why. Nevertheless, he's a Colorado State transfer by way of Trinity Valley and SMU. His was a crazy story. SMU told him they had a scholarship last year. He shows up on campus. They say, oops, we're just kidding. We don't have a scholarship. So
ooh,
he ends up having to, very late, about a week before the season, he ends up at Northwestern, and he's probably our best defensive player. O'Shea Jackson, 55, is one to watch. And then we've got a youngster named Jamard Valson, 11, who's an outside linebacker. He's a good disruptive force. Think like a smaller version of Kalavon Chaisson. He's kind of that kind of guy. And I think, I don't know that he'll do any disrupting this weekend, but he's certainly a fun guy to watch as a youngster.
Patrick Netherton, the voice of the Northwestern State Demons, kind enough to join us. What there's a lot of kids out there and that would dream and give their left arm to be in the position that you're in, a voice of a university. Tell me about your process to get to where you are now.
It's funny. I was when I was come to find out, I actually found a tape, a cassette tape. Probably some of your younger listeners don't even know what a cassette tape is. But I found a cassette tape from when I was four, and I was actually doing play-by-play of a fictional baseball game involving Reggie Jackson and the Dodgers.
Wow.
From when I was four.
I bet he hit a home run.
He hit a grand slam, or as I said in my adorable accent back then, a grand slam. And it made the score 20,000-9, which seems unusual. Seems like a lot of runs scored, but nevertheless. But so I found that. I go to college. I'm going to be a biology major. I'm going to be a pediatrician. I go in and I see a Chem 2 final on the wall in the science building on my visit to Wachita Baptist up in Arkansas. And I realize I don't know a thing that's on there. It's all carbon chains. And I don't understand a bit of it. So right then and there, I decided to switch majors. I became a mass comm guy. And it just so happened my academic advisor was also the voice of Arkadelphia's high school team and one of the voices of the OBU college team. So I got to get immediately involved as a freshman, and it just went from there. Got to come back to Shreveport, work at Centenary, be the voice of the gents for a couple of years, and then that led to Northwestern State. And, from then on, it's just been 16 years of glory and bliss, my friend.
It's perseverance, right? You're going to get turned down, but you just keep plugging away.
Yeah, and that's the hardest thing, I think. If you can't handle rejection in this business, you just don't need to be in it. I mean, you can't. Yeah. The number of times you get rejected for something, I mean, I've gone out for all kind of jobs. I mean, hell, I went out for the LSU job when Blair got it, and I was one of the finalists, but ultimately I didn't get the job. But you can't, you can't quit at that point, although you think about it from time to time. You consider that maybe I should just give it up. But, you keep persevering and knowing, hey, I'm one of, in terms of at least basketball guys, I'm one of 350 Division I basketball play-by-play guys. So it's a pretty elite fraternity.
And you get to hang out with people like Doug Ireland and Kent Lowe and Tim Brando. I mean, come on.
Yes. Oh, I mean, that's a who's who of who cares if ever there was one, my friend.
Patrick Netherton joining us. Now, they tell me that you are the master of the pit.
When it comes
to barbecuing, you are the Bobby Flay of Northwestern.
No. See, that's where they got it all wrong. I can't cook barbecue. I can taste and I can judge. I'm a certified barbecue judge from the Kansas City Barbecue Society. I go everywhere. Everywhere I go, I eat barbecue. I try places. I've been to almost all of the top 50 Texas monthly Texas barbecue joints, so I'm an aficionado in that regard. But sit me in front of a pit and tell me to cook a brisket, and I will fail miserably because I just don't have the patience for it.
Give me the best barbecue you've ever eaten.
Well, it's funny. It's down in Pearland, Texas, right outside of Houston. there's a place called Killens, and it is absolutely phenomenal. It's Ronnie Killen, who's actually a Cordon Bleu chef and opened up had a fine dining restaurant, a fine dining steakhouse. Then he started selling barbecue out of the back of his steakhouse on the weekends, and it became so popular, he opened up a barbecue joint, and he started doing burgers out of the back on the weekends, and that became so popular, he opened up a burger joint. Now he's about to open up a Mexican joint, and he's the official barbecue provider of the Houston Texans. So the man knows what he's doing, and his barbecue is absolutely fantastic. So Killens in Pearland, just southeast of Houston, is my number one favorite. But there's an 80-year-old lady in the middle of nowhere, Texas, Lexington, Texas, that owns a place called Snow's Barbecue. She's a school maintenance slash janitor on her normal job at 80. And then on Saturday, she goes and runs a pit and cooks up some of the best barbecue you'll ever see. So it's pretty wild, man. It really is. There's some great stories when you start looking at Texas barbecue, and that's just a couple of the great places.
I head to Natchitoches every now and then, do some ball games up there. So where should I go eat in that? Is this going to get you in trouble if I ask you where should I go eat there?
No, man. There's all kind of places. You know, if you want the original meat pie, you go to Lazione's. That's where the originator of the Natchitoches meat pie. If you just want good steak or seafood, you go to Mama's or Papa's down on Front Street.
Okay.
That's always great. They redone Front Street in Natchitoches. It's now they redid the whole Cane River Bank, and they've got a huge stage up there now. They've got kind of an amphitheater set up.
I love it.
It is absolutely fantastic. So I tell everyone, go to Natchitoches at some point, especially if you can get there during Christmas time when the lights are all up. Because there is not a finer place that you can find that doesn't involve you having to go to some major city somewhere. Natchitoches truly is the city of lights once December hits. And so go visit Natchitoches, go down to Front Street. It's beautiful.
I have been there for that, and it is. And I'm going back again, and I'm going to talk to you about where to eat. And because I love some barbecue, man. I do love me some barbecue. Patrick, I cannot thank you enough for your time. Continued success to you. And we look forward to seeing you Saturday in Tiger Stadium, man. Safe travels.
Appreciate it, Jordy.
You're the best. Thank you, buddy. Patrick Netherton, the voice of the Northwestern State Demons and the barbecue aficionado. Wow. Learn something new every day. That's got to be a fun gig. Just go around tasting barbecue and rating it. Man, I got to inquire about that. All right, it's 48 minutes after the hour. Back to wrap up hour number one, the Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
The Blonde Bomber is back, and better than ever, as you're locked into the Jordy Helfrich Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
All right, I've got a little controversy in the thoroughbred horse racing world. Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert has denied giving Justify a banned substance following yesterday's report that the Triple Crown winning horse failed a drug test a month before the 2018 Kentucky Derby. The New York Times reported that Justify tested positive for some drug I don't even want to talk about. I can't even pronounce it. After winning the Santa Anita Derby and qualifying for the Kentucky Derby in the process, that coming on April 7th, 2018. This scopolamine is a banned substance that can enhance performance, according to the Times, and the failed test should have led to Justify losing his Kentucky Derby entry. Baffert said in the statement today that Justify could have ingested trace amounts of the drug through feed grown in California. Is California a legal weed state now? I don't know. But Baffert said, I unequivocally reject any implication that scopolamine was ever intentionally administered to Justify or any of my horses. Test results indicating trace amounts of the drug were undoubtedly the result of environmental contamination caused by the presence of Jimson weed in feed, a naturally growing substance in areas where hay and straw are produced in California. Bob Baffert continued by saying, in addition, I had no input into or influence on the decisions made by the California Horse Racing Board. Baffert referring to the California board that diverted from its normal course of action following Justify's failed test. According to the New York Times, California regulators waited until April 26th, 9 days before the Kentucky Derby, to inform Baffert, who requested a second sample be tested by an independent lab. Those results were confirmed on May the 8th, 3 days after Justify won the Kentucky Derby. So are we going to have an asterisk placed next to Justify's name now? Is that what this is coming to? So rather than filing a complaint and holding a hearing, nothing happened until August 23rd, 4 months after the failed test, 2 months after Justify had completed his Triple Crown run by winning the Belmont Stakes. Ah, let the horse go. I mean, come on. Let it go. Just let it go. Yeah, horse racing needs Triple Crown winners. It just does. And baseball needs home run hitters. And the team that gave up the most home runs than any other team is the team that hit the home run that won, that eclipsed the mark for the most home runs in a Major League Baseball season. Over 6,000 home runs. I don't know what it sounds like to you, but over 6,000 home runs in one season, that's a lot of home runs. Man, that's a lot. Sounds like a lot to me. Maybe it's not, but it sure sounds like a lot. But it's the most ever in a baseball season, and we still got a ways to go. Still got a ways to go. So I think baseball's popularity has grown. I think baseball's taken a page out of what basketball does. I think baseball's promoting their stars a little bit more. And I think the home run has brought some intrigue into it. You see a lot of home runs, and every once in a while you see a Justin Verlander do what he does. And I think you've got some really – I think the anticipation for the playoffs is going to grow and grow. I think, you know, the Yankees, the Astros, I think people are gearing for that. I think everybody wants to see if anybody can hang with the Dodgers. But, you know, in baseball, it doesn't matter what happens during the regular season. You know, things can change on a dime. On a dime. Milwaukee loses Christian Yelich for the season. He's got like 18 games left in the regular season. And, you know, man, you got to dash their hopes. I know one player does, you know, it takes more than one player, but man, his production, right? His production was something. So baseball, more home runs than ever before. So that's pretty interesting stuff. Let me tell you what's coming up. Hour number two, Hot Topic starts off the hour as always. And then we're going to hear from the New Orleans Saints, their chance, the NOLA no-call, right? We'll never forget it. You put it behind you, you got to keep playing. The players have to play, but you never really, truly forget it. I lost the state high school basketball championship game on a half-court shot at the buzzer. It still haunts me to this day. I mean, we went on and played. We won SEC championships, got to NCAA tournaments at LSU, but you never, ever forget it. You just move on, but you never forget it. And the Saints will never forget the Minneapolis Miracle, the Tom Dempsey field goal, the NOLA no-call. They'll never forget all those things. So we'll talk about the Saints. Frank Schwab will join us and make his picks week number two of the NFL. We'll be back. The Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 103.7thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the
Jordy Holtberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Holtberg.
Welcome. Hour number two of two, and away we go, brought to you by Peterbilt of Louisiana. Peterbilt has reigned as America's premium quality heavy-duty truck manufacturer since the company's founding way back in 1939. Peterbilt's maintained its enviable position as the class of the industry by concentrating on delivering high performance, low maintenance, and extremely durable vehicles that pay off in low operating costs, driver productivity, and high resale value. It is the dream of every trucker to own a Peterbilt. Tigers, Cajuns at home, Saints on the road. Can we make it 2 weeks in a row of a hat trick? We shall see. Without further ado, we do it every day at this time of day. Let's find out what's hot as we take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD, do your thing.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
Well, I hear all these promos. I hear that. World famous CD? What's up with that, CD? Come on now. Well, world famous.
Well, we got to give the credit where credit is due. That is an RP3. He wrote the copy for that, so definitely a lot of that is thrown into him. That's what he's been calling me for quite some time, and it kind of
escalated. I hear it's true. I hear it's true.
The word on the street is true.
Just remember where you got your start. Thank you very much. No, let's roll.
All right, Jordy, let's get things started off right. And one of the big things that happened last night is what's going on in California with the big news. I'm surprised we're not talking about it as much in California. A big thing wound up happening involving the world of college football and all of college sports because of the fact that now looks like the state of California has passed the bill to allow college athletes to profit off their name, image, and likeness. Or as they put it, the NLI unanimously passed SB 206. So 30 days from now, possibly the next big thing to happen to sports could be happening soon.
I'll believe it when I see it. I'll leave it at that.
I'm kind of in the same boat. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens next from that aspect with what's going on with this bill that got passed 30 days away from it. And it's going to wind up probably getting stopped by the NCAA. But it's an interesting step in that direction, Jordy. But flipping it on over to the NFL, Sam Darnold, you mentioned at the top of the show, sidelined by mono indefinitely. That's probably one of the wildest things I've heard of when it comes to players being ruled out, because you just look at the first week of the season, so many players are just dropping like flies.
I think, knock on wood, I've never, ever suffered from that, but I have heard that is debilitating, and you can be out for as much as a month. So keep an eye on the J-E-T-S, Jets, because it's another team, like the Cleveland Browns. Everybody was anticipating a much better season. Well, they lose their opener at the wire to Buffalo, and now their starting quarterback is out. They could be out of it before it gets started. And who's sitting back just laughing at the whole thing but the New England Patriots, with the easiest division in football, yet again, year after year after year. It just ain't right.
It just makes it way too easy. At least it's the easiest division in all the league for right now, because I've been kind of tinkering a little bit with this conspiracy theory that I've got, Jordy, and I want to get your take on it. And that is involving the Miami Dolphins. Obviously, we're always calling it tanking for Tua. Well, think about it, Jordy. After the season's all said and done, Nick Saban steps away because he knows that he has a second chance to bring Miami back to the promised land with his boy Tua Tagovailoa being the first pick and Nick Saban back head coaching the Miami Dolphins. He gets to have an opportunity to do what he couldn't do in 06 with Drew Brees.
Ain't happening. He ain't leaving Alabama. The next place he goes is to the lake in Georgia because he'll be done coaching. So, he got his lesson in the NFL. Those players make a heck of a lot more money than the coaches do. When he's at Alabama, he is the emperor. Everyone shakes under his footsteps, and that's what he's used to. He's not going to go back to the NFL. It's not going to tarnish his reputation or image. He is the king, and that's all there is to it. It's a good conspiracy theory, but no, it ain't going to happen. I wish. It'd be great. Get him out of here. But no, you know what? I don't want that. I want him to be at Alabama, and I want Coach O and the Tigers to finally beat him and then beat him regularly. It reminds me, I'm telling you, of when I was playing a long time ago. Kentucky basketball was the king. They still are the king in the SEC. And we took their best shot. And when you beat them with their best, it means that much more. And then we started beating them regularly, and they were feared of us. And that's what I want for LSU football. I want this Alabama dominance to go away. Beat them with their best. Beat them with the king. And then keep beating them and put them to bed for once and for all.
I would absolutely love that. Flipping on over to the NBA, because Jordy, did you get your tickets for the Lakers Pelicans game?
No, because it's a sellout.
It was an immediate sellout. It was amazing to see how quickly it sold out, and not just because of the fact a lot of people were getting in on the deals, but because of the fact you had a lot of season ticket holders already in bought into this ball game. What does that speak to the power of Zion Williamson almost immediately bringing an impact to the ticket sales for the Smoothie King Center? That place is going to be rocking all year long.
Oh, it was terrific. Now, there's still tickets available, but you got to buy season tickets or you got to buy season ticket packages. So, that's great. I mean, I think that's fabulous. The Zion effect, that's terrific. I don't know if I told you the story about the guy who, similarly, on another note, wanted to go see the LSU-Texas game so bad. They only got so many tickets. He bought season tickets for Texas football games just so he could go to the LSU game. And now, no, seriously, he got good seats. He bought season tickets, and now he's selling all the other ones, and he's making more money than he had to give out to buy the season tickets. So people get creative. People get innovative, but it's Zion. That's great. It's great for the city. I love it for the franchise. It's a great venue to go watch a basketball game. It's 2 hours. It's under climate-controlled temperatures. It's great. It's great. And it doesn't hurt that LeBron's on the other team, so that's pretty fun.
Exactly. And, of course, I think they're all just over there to boo the ever-living daylights out of one Anthony Davis.
It's all about
that, but you have to really kind of think about how many people are invested into the Pelicans now, maybe versus whenever you had Anthony Davis there towards the end. Just people kind of were jumping off the bandwagon, and now they quickly got back on with Zion Williamson, who hopefully he isn't done making his college tour stops yet.
I'm telling you, he's been to Tiger Stadium. He's been to Tulane Stadium. He's been to the Superdome. He and Jackson Hayes and Lonzo. And I see a camaraderie, which is great. I love that aspect. They're not afraid to go out to see, to be seen. Heck, Zion's out there, I mean, with guys older than him at LSU football games.
Yeah.
So that's what's amazing. So, I mean, that is awesome. I love that they're hanging out together, doing things together. That's terrific. And maybe we need to get a whole bunch of Elmer Fudd big heads, and when Anthony Davis comes to town with the da-da-da-da, that's all, folks.
That would be awesome, Jordy. That would be fantastic. And I'm just going to throw it out here right now, Jordy. Zion, come on over to Cajun Field. Go enjoy some Cajun football while you're at it. You know,
yes.
Yeah, there's one Saturday. So come on over, Zion. We call him for you.
And then I want you to get his number and get him on our show. Okay. I've had a hard time getting him.
Oh, I can about imagine.
I'm trying.
We're gonna try.
I've had a hard time though.
Striving for Zion.
I don't have many connections at Duke, and Coach K doesn't answer my calls. So I don't know why. I don't understand it, but. What the heck? That's all right. They beat us. Christian Laettner and company came to Baton Rouge, beat Shaq and them in the Assembly Center. So, I mean, I was there. We talked, but he forgot me. He forgot who I was.
I mean, Coach K is a different character, man.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Coach K's probably laughing, going, ha-ha, Coach Pop, what do you, I mean, you know, you can't
win.
Oh,
he's loving that.
And I won all the time. What's wrong with you? I got players to come play for me. How come they don't want to play for Pop? That was a D-League team that they sent. When Harrison Barnes is your second leading minutes per game player, Harrison Barnes, you got to be kidding me. That's atrocious. We should be ashamed of ourselves sending a D-League team in a sport that we should dominate day in, day out. That's just an absolute travesty. Oh, well. There you go. There's your Hot Topics for the day. Thank you, CD. Tomorrow, CD will join me and George Becknell will give our Monday headlines on a Friday. We've been pretty good so far on that. We'll see if we can continue the streak. But coming up next, we'll hear from the New Orleans Saints. Hot Topics, as always, brought to you by Cajun Chef, the best hot sauce on the planet. The Biart family, great people, right there in St. Martinville. For nearly 90 years, a family-owned business that they take extreme pride in. They use only the finest spices and only the finest peppers when they make their outstanding Cajun Chef hot sauce. Do yourself a flavor. Seriously, do yourself a flavor. You're going out to Cajun Field, you're coming to Tiger Stadium, bring a bottle with you wherever you go. Sample all the food, and then put a little splash of Cajun Chef hot sauce on it and tell me how much that enhances the flavor. Cajun Chef, the best hot sauce around. The Jordy Helfer Show continues on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Nolan No Call, we'll never forget it. But it's time to move on. Next.
You're listening to the Jordy Holmberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Want to get in on the action? Call us up on the Ardco Equipment Hotline at 337-706-0111.
We're tied at 20 and 149 to go, and Breeze will break huddle. Third down and 10 at the 13. Drops back, arches a pass down the near side. Broken up at the 5-yard line. Beautifully timed by Roby Coleman in the secondary on a pass down the near sideline. They were looking for Tommy Lee Lewis, and it's an incompletion with a collision literally at the time the ball was coming right between the two combatants down the near sideline at about the 5. No flag, incomplete, and the field goal unit has taken the field for New Orleans, and the boos are cascading down here at the Superdome.
Maybe the worst call of a game, and I love Kevin Harlan, but that's the worst. The ball and the player arrive at the same time. What was he watching? Are you kidding me? That's awful. That's the NOLA no call. It had set up the rematch. Well, not, I don't know. It's they meet again for the first time this Sunday in L.A., and I thought that Larry Warford, the offensive lineman, in meeting with the media, summed it up best that this, even though they're not in the same division, it sure feels like a division rivalry.
You know, it's become that. You know, it's obviously two very good teams going at it for the last 3 years. You know, we've been, you know, at the tops of our divisions for the last 2 years, and you know, we've faced each other, and you know, it's been close games every time, and there's all that controversy we had. So it, you know, it does feel like it does have that division rivalry type thing going on there.
It sure does. All right, so the Saints play on a Monday night. Now they've got to travel out to the West Coast for a Sunday afternoon game. Sean Payton talked about the game week preparations.
Well, look, I think one of the things that's important is trying to put some distance between, you know, the padded practice and your last game. You know, I think that today we've got to be careful and mindful of, you know, how much time we were on the field, what players played, how many snaps, and make sure we handle it the right way. So a little bit more mental early in the week and kind of adjust the schedule that way.
One of the big alarming notes of the game against the Texans was the fact that the Saints, so good against the run a year ago, were getting gashed by, I mean, not superstar running backs at all. Carlos Hyde, are you kidding me? It made him look like an all-pro. Sean Payton talked about the Texans' rushing total against the Saints.
Look, part of the key to that Houston team is the flexibility the quarterback provides them. You know, he got out of the pocket. I know we feel like we can play the run better, and we're going to see some real good rushing teams here, starting with Los Angeles.
All right. Todd Gurley is the question mark. Is he healthy? Is he not? Is he going back to his old ways? Is he coming? I don't know. We will soon find out. A big challenge for Eric McCoy in the offensive line. When you think of defense, and a lot of people, when you ask if you could take one player in the NFL to start your franchise off with, a lot of people will pick Rams defensive lineman Aaron Donald. Here's Eric McCoy singing the praises of Mr. Donald.
Well, like you said, he's an elite player. Pass game, run game, he's very good. Very good with his hands, very good get off. And it'll be a challenge for us for sure.
He's a challenge. A challenge for Drew Brees, who listen to what Brees had to say about Donald.
He is an all-the-time player. You know, he's got such a high motor. So he is full go all the time. He is so multiple in the things that he can do, you know, the moves that he can give you, the inside, the outside, the rip, the jump, the, you know, I mean, I don't even have names for all the moves that he can do to get to the quarterback. You cannot block him with one guy. He's just that good a player. He's such an impact player. He can change a game, you know, so very, I don't know if I've ever seen anybody like him. But he's just a phenomenal player.
The Saints' answer to Aaron Donald is Cam Jordan. And, of course, it always stems with affecting the quarterback. And here's what Cam Jordan said about Jared Goff.
I mean, at this point, you know, you have to get him off his spot. You have to be able to make him feel uneasy in the pocket. And I think, you know, now we've got the addition of David Onyemata for this week, and that's going to be a huge plus for us on the D-line.
Yes, Onyemata is back, and boy, that helps. That takes some pressure. Gives you another guy that can get in there and affect the quarterback. Here's Drew Brees talking. He has to go against Onyemata in practice. Here's Drew Brees talking about his defensive lineman.
That's huge. He's a big part of the D line. Obviously, he's an impact player, but also just from a depth perspective, you know, you with especially an up-tempo group like the offense that our defense is going up against, you know, with the Rams, you know, the more depth, the more that you can, you know, be shuffling guys in and out and keep guys fresh, that's important.
Drew Brees' favorite go-to guy, of course, is Michael Thomas, another double-digit receiving night against the Houston Texans, and he's just thrilled to be on a team that throws the ball around like the Saints do.
And it's a blessing. That's what we're used to here, spreading the ball around, you know, getting the ball into our playmaker's hand, allowing them to be who they are and be really good at what we brought them in to do. So, you know, it's always fun when we're able to just run and gun teams and just spread the ball around and see other guys make plays in big games.
Ted Ginn was the only Saint that did not participate in practice yesterday, which is great considering that they played on a Monday night. Four players were limited. Marcus Williams with a groin, defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins with an Achilles, defensive tackle Mario Edwards Jr. with a hamstring, and Craig Robertson with a hamstring. We'll find out the injury report later on in the week. But Sean Payton, again, we had wondered about, with no Mark Ingram in there, what was going to happen with Alvin Kamara. Touched the ball 20 times, ran it a few, caught a few. So the pitch count, he's going to have to touch the ball. And Sean Payton talked about Alvin Kamara.
It can vary just as the game unfolds. You know, a lot of it depends on how many snaps we get. You know, sometimes you have a game where you have more snaps, you convert third downs. So, but yeah, he's someone that we feel like in each series is going to impact plays for us and impact our offense.
Impact the offense. So the Saints on a Sunday afternoon, this starts the back-to-back West Coast swing. The Rams this Sunday, then they take on the Seattle Seahawks. So they're going to stay out on the West Coast, train, practice there. before they come back and take on the Dallas Cowboys in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. And we said it before, it is a gauntlet of a start to a season when you see what the Saints have played and will continue to play in their first quarter of the year. It is a daunting schedule, but so far, so good. But they face a team now that that many pick to be the representative of the NFC in the Super Bowl. So these are two of the elite teams that will battle this weekend. And again, it's all about you got to protect Drew Brees, keep him upright. You got to pressure Jared Goff. And it was kind of funny because so much praise is given to Sean McVay, the coach of the LA Rams, so much. And Sean Payton said, yeah, we've got some things in common. We're both named Sean, and he laughed about that. McVay played at Miami of Ohio. Sean Payton coached there, and both Payton and McVay learned under John Gruden. How about that? How about that? Two really, really, really good offensive minds. Payton's got a Super Bowl. McVay doesn't. And they cheated us out of a chance to get another Super Bowl. So who dat is what I'm talking about. All right, there's your Saints sound for the day. We've got week two of the NFL. Some interesting games like Minnesota at Green Bay is one of the really, really good ones. We'll all be watching tonight in the NFC South, Tampa Bay versus Carolina. I'm pulling for Tampa Bay to upset the Panthers, I hope, because I think Carolina's a better team. And I think Tampa Bay might get a win and just get on out of there. But I don't know. I don't think they're going to win. Neither Jameis Winston or Cam Newton have thrown a touchdown pass in like a year, it seems like. Anyway, Frank Schwab, editor of Shutdown Corner for Yahoo Sports, previews that game and all the rest of week two of the NFL next here on the Jordy Helpert Show. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com.
Here's three pieces of advice to live by. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Peterbilt, America's premium quality heavy-duty truck manufacturer, is the class of the industry. They deliver high-performance, low-maintenance, extremely durable vehicles that pay off in low operating costs, driver productivity, and high resale value. It's the dream of every trucker to own a Peterbilt with offices in Lafayette, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Lake Charles. When the LSU Tigers travel, they travel with a Peterbilt truck. It's week two of the NFL. Frank Schwab, the shutdown editor of Shutdown Corner for Yahoo Sports, is kind enough to join us yet again this Thursday. Frank, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Awesome. That Saints-Texans game was a doozy, wasn't it?
Easily the best game of week one. We had some not many great games. You know, I mean, love the football's back, love the, you know, that whole deal. But that was the one great game we got in week one, and it was, boy, it was fantastic. I mean, just look, Deshaun Watson is great. He's unbelievable.
He really is.
Drew Brees is still one of the greatest of all time. And you just, you know, you look up at the clock, you said 37 seconds. Hey, he can get these guys in position, and we'll let's hit that great kick. What a game. What a way to start the season.
Awesome. All right, let's get to week number two. It starts tonight, the Bucs at the Panthers. The Bucs had turnover issues last week against the 49ers. They're a short week traveling on the road. Carolina was pretty good against the Rams. Who do you like?
It's got to be Carolina. I was just so disappointed in Tampa Bay. I mean, especially Jameis. Like, you know what? Yeah. If it's not happening in year five, it's not happening. It's just this was his time. Hey, show us something. New coach.
Right.
A lot of
right.
guys to throw the ball to, and he was terrible. And I know Bruce Arians said, oh, this interception wasn't his fault, that interception wasn't his fault. He was terrible the whole game. I mean, that's fine if you want to excuse him for a couple interceptions, but he was stuck on about 140 yards late in the fourth quarter. I don't know. I've given up. It's not going to happen with Jameis. I think that they have to know that by now. I think he's going to do his usual thing tonight and throw a couple picks and, you know, that's that. I think you got to take Carolina here just because you can't trust Jameis.
two quarterbacks that really looked good. One in the second half, Kyler Murray. One was sensational against Miami, Lamar Jackson. Two young players, Cardinals at the Ravens. Ravens favored by double figures.
Yeah, and, you know, the Ravens couldn't have done anything more in week one, but how much of that was the Dolphins? The Dolphins look historically bad. I mean, they look like they just have no interest in playing competitive football this year. So we'll see. I mean, maybe not this week because Arizona's not great either. But, I'm Lamar looked great. And I don't think there's any reason to believe he can't be very good this season. Why not? Mm-hmm. Like, everybody kind of gave up on him after 1 year and ripped him. And, you know, he's just a running back, blah, blah, blah. Why can't he improve? Like, why didn't people give him any patience or assume he was going to improve from year one, year two? He did every year at Louisville. I think he's not going to be a great passer. I mean, that's just not who he is. But the combination of good passer and one of the most dynamic runners we've ever seen. He could be one of the biggest weapons in the NFL. Baltimore's going to win this game, I believe. But I don't know. Arizona could, if they figured out some things in the fourth quarter against the Detroit there, maybe they can keep it close. They're not a very good team, but, you know, still, it's going to be hard to defend that offense for a while.
All right. The Chargers are a 2.5-point favorite at Detroit. Lions are making their home opening debut. Chargers have to travel. Chargers are the better team. Phillip Rivers is good. Who do you like?
Yeah, I mean, the Chargers are the better team, but, boy, these injuries are just piling up. I mean, they lost our tight end, Hunter Henry. Their number two receiver, Mike Williams, dealing with a knee injury. You know, they didn't look great against the Colts last week. They did win in overtime, and good for them. But I'm going to be – I think the Lions have a chance for an upset here. I think that, that the Chargers are just so beat up. And the Lions, you know, for three quarters they played well at least. They didn't play well in the fourth quarter in overtime. But yeah, I think the Lions are a solid team. They're at home. They don't want to be 0-2. You're going to see their best effort. And I wasn't terribly impressed with the Chargers, and I don't think that these injuries helped them very much. So I give me the Lions, and I'll be very impressed if the Chargers can deal with all these injuries, go on the road and win.
All right, Frank Schwab, shutdown corner for Yahoo Sports, joining us. One of the best games of the weekend, the Vikings at the Packers. Packers were miserable offensively against Chicago. I just don't see that happening 2 weeks in a row. But these are two really good defenses. I can't believe I'm saying the Packers are a really good defense, but they are. Interesting game with the Packers at home, favored by 2.5.
You know, that's one of those things where you look and say, well, the Packers offense, how can we really tell? They played that great Bears defense. Well, the same thing this week. The Vikings have a really good defense. They were excellent against the Falcons. I was really impressed with the Vikings. That's the one game that kind of flew under the radar. Nobody's talking about it. I watched that game, and it was 28-0 going into the fourth quarter, and it seemed like it could have been 49-0. I mean, the Vikings just were absolutely the better team. That's one game. Who knows? But was very, very impressed with the Vikings. Very interested in this game. I think the Vikings can upset them. I really do. I just think the continuity of, you know, most everybody's back for the Vikings. I think the Packers are still learning this offense. A lot of things had to do with the Bears' defense, of course. But I wasn't impressed with their offense yet. I think it will be good. I just don't think it's going to be good this week. I think the Vikings have serious upset potential here, and that NFC North race is going to be awesome all year. I mean, I put out power rankings Tuesday, and all of the top three teams in NFC North are all in my top 10. I think that's going to stay that way all year, too. I think all three of these teams are quality, and I think that this game right here is the game of the week. Minnesota-Green Bay is going to be fantastic.
I'm with you. Another game I think is going to be good, hard-hitting, Seattle at Pittsburgh. The Steelers were awful in losing to the Patriots. This is their home opener. You know that Tom is going to have them focused and ready to go. At least I think they will be. Seattle's offensive line didn't look so good. Steelers trying to get their first victory of the season. Do they get it at Three Rivers?
I think Pittsburgh wins because, they were awful. But I almost chalked that up to just New England's that good. They really are. The Patriots are going to be really good this year. You know who else was terrible? The Seattle Seahawks. They were outgained by about 200 yards. They should have lost that game. They ended up with a one-point win. And that matters most. I get that. But they did not cover themselves in glory by any means at home against the Bengals. Now they go out to the East Coast where they've typically struggled. They're not a great road team. And look, if the Pittsburgh Steelers lose this game, we have serious doubts about the Pittsburgh Steelers going forward. They're probably just a bad team. But I'm holding on for one more week. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers win this game pretty easily, too. I think they're bounced back, a little more urgency. I don't think they're as bad as we saw on Sunday night. I just think the Patriots are that much better. I think the Steelers get back on track here.
We've gone about 10 minutes, and we haven't mentioned that newest New England Patriot, but my gosh, they look so darn good. This is one of those rivalries where I think you throw the records out. Cowboys at the Redskins. Dak Prescott looked great in their season-opening win. But something about the Redskins at home, they need a win. This is a great rivalry. How do you see it?
Yeah, I think that Washington can compete in this game. Dallas looked great last week, and I do think they're very, very talented, and they probably win. But I think Washington's going to give them their best. Old NFC East is going to be nip and tuck, and a very close game, I think. I think this could be a closer one than people think. I think Washington could win. I don't think they will necessarily, but okay. I think it's going to be a lot tougher game than people think. They just watched Dallas last week steamroll the Giants, and they looked like world beaters. And hey, if they do that again, more power to them. But I think we're going to get a close game here in Washington. I think Washington competes.
I'm with you, Frank Schwab. Chiefs on the road going to the Raiders. The Raiders impressed beating your Broncos. Their defense looked pretty darn good. Pat Mahomes, we know all about him. How big is it without having Tyreek Hill now, and what kind of an impact does that make on this game?
A huge impact. I mean, I don't know that the Raiders necessarily win, but Tyreek Hill is just one of those guys that affects the game in ways that don't show up on a stat sheet. He's so fast, so explosive, and he's got the quarterback throwing him the ball. Every single play you have to account for him. Every single play that he is a threat to go, 60, 70 yards wherever you're at on the field and then score. And that affects the defense. It affects the way you call the game. It affects the way you line up. So it absolutely is a big deal. Now they have Mecole Hardman, their rookie speedster. Like, he can replace some of what Tyreek Hill does, but he's not the same player. I think, the Raiders did look good. I assume the Chiefs are going to win. Their offense is really good with or without Tyreek Hill. But I think, maybe not this game, but some game, the Chiefs are going to – they're really going to miss Tyreek Hill. He's a difference maker. And, again, he could have two catches for 30 yards in a game and still absolutely impact the game because defenses they just have to sit on their heels and wait for him. So I think I'm really interested in how that affects this Chiefs offense.
The Eagles at the Falcons. This ought to be a shootout, a fun one. The Falcons look bad in the first half and their loss to the Vikings. The Eagles rally to beat the Redskins. How many people are going to show up at that facility to watch the Falcons play? And if they go 0-2, that may be an empty Mercedes-Benz stadium to watch the Falcons the rest of the year.
I think the Falcons aren't as bad as they looked on Sunday. I hope not. I mean, they were terrible. If they are, then Dan Quinn in the last season. I mean, they need a better performance. I think that being at home helps. It's always hard to tell. Like, we get into week one, and it's all we have to talk about, right? We've been waiting for games for 6-7 months. And we go crazy. Like, if the Falcons got blown out by the Vikings in week 10, we'd be like, whatever, they had a bad week. Now we're like, oh my goodness, are the Vikings Super Bowl contender, are the Falcons terrible? Yeah, so I don't want to overreact, but I don't want to underreact either. Maybe the Falcons just are that bad. I think that they bounce back. I think they win, but this is a very, very good Eagles team. I don't know. It is a very, very good Sunday night game, and I think it's one of those, we're going to know exactly what we have in the Falcons after this one.
Frank Schwab, editor of Shutdown Corner, Yahoo Sports. Couple more games to talk about. No one laid a bigger egg than the Cleveland Browns, and now the New York Jets find out that their starting quarterback, Sam Darnold, is out with mono. The Browns are a 2.5-point favorite going on the road to take on the Jets.
Yeah, and the Jets, I mean, the bad news today that the quarterback, Sam Darnold, has mono. He's going to miss the game. I mean, Trevor Siemian steps in. Their offense already looked terrible last week. I don't think Siemian helps them at all. The one time I had the Jets all season, I liked them. I looked at their roster. I was excited. But in the back of my mind, I kept saying, is Adam Gase any good? Is he a good coach? Like, that 2013 season with Peyton Manning, it was Peyton Manning, and it was a really long time ago. And I think you saw in week one that maybe Adam Gase just isn't very good. And that was – this is a bad game for the Jets. I mean, and they did not play well. And the blowout lead was really disturbing. I think the Browns are back on track. I think, you know, when things happen in week one, we look back in 8 weeks and say, how did that even happen? What was going on in that game?
Okay.
And I think one of those games might be Tennessee 43, Cleveland 13. I don't know if Tennessee's that good. I don't know if Cleveland's that bad. I'm willing to stick with the Browns for at least one more week. If they come out and lose to Trevor Siemian on Monday night, then panic a little bit. But I'll take Cleveland and kind of in a route here. I think Cleveland really gets back on track.
Okay, well, you know the game that is of interest in this part of the world. It's the rematch of the NFC Championship game, the NOLA no call. Two teams that can light it up on the offensive side of the ball. The Saints defense, that quarterback, as you said, Deshaun Watson, was some kind of good for Houston. Now they go up against a completely different type of a quarterback, more of a pocket guy in Jared Goff. Let's talk about it. What do you think?
Yeah, if Packers Vikings is in the game of the week, it's this one. I mean, this is a heck of a good game between two very good football teams. Obviously, the revenge angle, all that kind of stuff. I think the Saints could win. Even though the Rams had a very nice road win, you know, had a good Carolina team, it wasn't too impressive. As you watch that game, they got nothing going in the pass game. That's kind of a carryover from last year. Maybe teams have figured out the Rams' passing attack a little bit and figured out Jared Goff. Gurley's still kind of not the same guy, which is fine. He could be effective in bursts. Their defense, you know, they gave up 30 to the Panthers. It wasn't like they were phenomenal in that game. So I think the Saints could go on the road, win that game. I think at the end of the day, I'll probably end up picking the Rams, but it wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me if the Saints, after all this buildup from last year and what happened, they come out really fired up and really play well and win that game. I mean, it is one of those coin flip games. I think you play 10 times, 5-5. It's going to be a really, really good game. And, you know, whoever comes out of this game is going to be thinking really good, you know, really positively. You'd be 2-0 with two quality wins, whether it's Houston and, you know, Houston in week one and the Rams in week two or the Panthers in week one and the Saints in week two. You're going to be 2-0 with two really good wins and think, hey, we got the inside track now for the number one seed. So a great, great week two game. I mean, you don't get this one. There's stuff this good this early in the season usually.
You know, Frank, you got to stop. You got to control Aaron Donald as best you can. But there was a stat from the Texan game. Ryan Ramczyk, for the first time in J.J. Watt's career, never got a sack, never got a tackle. They never called his name. I mean, Ryan Ramczyk, what a steal of a draft pick he was.
Yeah. A couple guys from my alma mater, Wisconsin, going against each other. So, yeah, and out here in Broncos country, they're still upset that they passed on Ramczyk to draft Garrett Bowles out of Utah, and he's been terrible. So, yeah, Ramczyk is just – that's one of those drafts, and part of that was that pick of just turning the franchise around. And that's – you know, the Saints are one of those teams where you look – if you're one of these middling type of teams that you know, have some pieces in place but not all, you look and you say, hey, if we have one draft like the Saints did, we can really rebound. Or the Colts last year, you know.
Yes.
The beauty of the NFL is you always feel like, hey, if we hit some grand slams, just one draft, we can turn ourselves around for the next 3-4 years.
Yeah, you're right. Well, the Schwab, week one, let's see if the play improves in week two. And we never, ever talked about Antonio Brown. Success here on the Jordy Helfrich Show.
I appreciate
Thank you, Frank. Enjoy the ball games.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. Frank Schwab, the editor of Shutdown Corner for Yahoo Sports. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up. History lesson, birthday wishes. Oh, this is a day that Portland would love to forget, but they never will. I'll explain why.
All the best guests join the Jordy Holtberg Show. If you missed an interview, you can check it out on demand at 1037thegame.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, time to wrap things up at 54 minutes after the hour. Let's get right to our daily history lesson. It was a day that Portland, the Trailblazers, because it was on this day, September 12th, 1984, that the Chicago Bulls signed their first-round draft pick, Michael Jordan. Remember how the draft order went. Houston had the number one pick, Hakeem Olajuwon. No problem with that one. Portland had the second pick. They picked a big, Sam Bowie from Kentucky. The Chicago Bulls had the third pick. They picked Michael Jordan. It was the start of one of the greatest careers the NBA has ever seen. On this day, September 12th, 1984, Michael Jordan officially a Chicago Bull. If today is your birthday, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. Former LSU basketball coach Trent Johnson celebrating a birthday today. Boy, he was a great defensive back. James Britt, happy birthday, James. Pitcher Patrick Coogan, Coogs, friend of the program, and another friend of our program, one of the more dynamic return specialists LSU's ever had, Skylar Green, celebrating a birthday today, as is happy 30th birthday to Andrew Luck. Will he stay out of football forever, or will he get healthy and make a comeback? Time will tell. And happy 39th birthday to the largest human being I've ever stood next to. His legs were like, his thighs were like tree trunks, literally. He made Shaq look like a 5'10" guard. Happy 39th birthday to Yao Ming. Man, what a skilled player he was for the short amount of time. Just too big, too heavy. His feet gave out. That was it. So happy birthday to Yao. So special thanks to all of our guests. Brody Miller, talking about LSU. Patrick Netherton, the voice of the Northwestern State Demons. And Frank Schwab of Shutdown Corner with all of his NFL picks. Tomorrow is a football Friday. We'll start things off with a weather report for all the high school football games and the Cajuns and Tigers games. We'll also get a forecast of what it's like in sunny, beautiful L.A. We'll have the Nickel Report. Jordy and the Judge, George Faust, will join us to talk about high school football. The Raging Cajuns, Larry Holder of The Athletic will join us. We'll talk about the Saints. And then we'll have the tripod of C.D., George, and Jordy giving you Monday's headlines on a Friday. There you go. So Tigers will take care of business. Cajuns will take care of business. Now we just got to sweat out the Saints on Sunday. But sweat it out, we will. Yes, indeed. Don't worry about cramping. It's not about hydration. It's about stress. It's about anxiety. Okay. Well, that's all the time we have for you today. Thanks so much for listening in. We greatly appreciate that in whichever form or manner that you do. Thanks to our partners that make it possible each and every day. Thanks to my producer, CD, world famous CD, I'm told. So thank you, sir, for all of that. We only have one of these Thursdays. So have a great rest of your afternoon and evening. Come on back tomorrow, Friday, same time, 2 to 4. Same great station, 103.7 The Game and 1037thegame.com. Until then, I'm Jordy Helper. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.